Blog Talk Radio.
Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, we thank you for this evening, O God. We thank you, Lord, that you kept us all day long and brought us to this point tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy, because it endures forever. We thank you, Lord, that goodness and mercy shall follow us. Follows us all the days of our life. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to learn of thee. We thank you for an opportunity to see your face. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to hear your voice. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to be directed by your word. We thank you, O God, for your word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, able to split asunder the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word. It's one of the weapons of our warfare. We thank you, Lord, for Bible study.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you that your word says that, hallelujah, we're going to be equipped. We're going to be blessed. We're going to be anointed because of your word. Father God, we understand that a lot of people will go out and say, tell folks, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. But they don't understand that the word of God, your word, is a device to anoint us.
Thank you, Lord.
And if we don't read your word, we can't boast about being anointed. But see, if we read your word, because your word is seed, and your word is anointed, and when it's planted in us, we also become anointed. So we thank you, God, so we can say with a surety, with victory, and with confidence, we are the anointed of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And no weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Amen.
So we thank you, Lord, for everyone that's on this in this Bible study this evening. Mm. We thank you, Lord, for those families that are represented, oh God. We thank you for those that are making their way to the Bible study on the phone. It's not a far away from them because I know they got their phone in their pocket or in their purse, hallelujah, or on their desk or somewhere near them, or they're sitting in front of a computer right now. It's just a click away to join us as we learn of thee.
Thank you, Father.
So we praise your name. We glorify your name. We honor your name. And Father God, we do thank you for spiritual authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you and your satanic cohorts. You are under our feet. We say, get thee behind us, Satan. We curse you from the root and command you to be bound in Jesus' name. And Father God, you get the praise and you get the honor and the glory, for we turn everything over to you. Have your way tonight. Holy Spirit, just speak, hallelujah, touch, do what you want to do in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And the church said,
amen.
And
amen.
The Bible study students say,
amen.
There's
amen.
Only one on the call. Is that right?
Amen.
There's two on the call tonight. Is that all? Two amens?
Yep.
There's
amen.
Something wrong with that picture. There's something wrong with that picture.
You may have this phone muted. Human
have had their phones muted. Well, praise God.
Hallelujah.
That's the case. Because I can't speak to Cody about Shatta. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for this. This is the last Bible study before the new semester of the Institute of Biblical Learning.
Amen.
But for those that are listening that did not register for the course, you still have time. We'll hold up the registry. We'll extend it to Sunday the 2nd. Register. Call Pastor Peaches at 443-416-1201 and find out how to do and what to do so you can get your books that are necessary for the Institute of Biblical Learning. Also, I want to share with you those that don't register, but they want to audit the course. Audit means you want to hear what's going on. You can call 515-602-9787 and hear the call. You cannot call the Bible study number. You cannot participate in the questions and answers. You can't ask the question. You can't make a comment if you are not registered for this school. I want those who are listening to understand that you must register for the school. If you want to audit the course, audit means you want to sit in the class. When you audit a college course, you can't raise your hand, you can't ask questions, you can't answer questions. The only thing you can do is hear what's going on and take notes if you want to. That's called auditing a course.
Oh.
Get no credit for that at all.
Oh, okay.
But you can audit this course. But that's the 515 number you call to audit the course. Hallelujah. If you have some questions, I'm sorry for you. Take the course. Register for the course. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Now, I need those that are on the call. I need more people on the call because I want folks to get their King James Version Bible, Amplified Bible, and the Message Bible in front of them because I'm going to need some help tonight.
All three.
Get it in front of you. Get what you have available. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you.
That's the second one you said?
The Amplified Bible, the King James Version Bible, and the Message Bible. Now, those who have taken the course and have registered for the new course, they got all three of those. They got the King James, they got the Amplified, and they got the Message. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to just start at the beginning. Again, the word of the Lord has come down to us. The word of the Lord, he said that he can preserve his word. So we have the Holy Bible, the Holy Scripture, the Holy Writ, the sword, the word of God. And the word of God, the Holy Writ, the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures is divided into main parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Each main part has five divisions, subdivisions. The Old Testament, this is review for a lot of you, and some of you new folk that are listening that haven't said anything. I just want to say this. If you are a leader in this church, you must be at Bible study.
Amen.
It's not a voluntary thing. If you want to lead, you cannot lead from behind. Show me a lead. Send me somebody who has some sheep and is behind them trying to drive them. You can't do that. You cannot lead from behind. Sheep would go all willy-nilly. You lead from in front. Again, the Holy Bible is divided into two major portions, the Old Testament and New Testament. Each major part is divided into five subdivisions. The five subdivisions of the Old Testament are the books of the law, or the Pentateuch, or the Torah, and that's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, books of the law. Then you have the books of history. There are 12 of them. Hallelujah. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, First Chronicles, Second Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. There are 12 of them. Then you have the books of poetry or wisdom. Job, you have Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. There are 5 of them. Then you have the major prophets. You have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. There are five of them. Then you have the minor prophets. And the difference between major and minor prophets, major prophets, they wrote a lot. Minor prophets only wrote a little bit. All right. And they are Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. There's 12 of them. Again, the subdivisions of the Old Testament are books of history, books of the law, books of history, books of poetry, or you see some say books of wisdom. Then you have major prophets and minor prophets. There are 39 books in the Old Testament. There are 929 chapters in the Old Testament. There are 28,145 verses in the Old Testament.
28,145
verses in the Old Testament. Just some information. You might want to note that down. You may hear it again or see it again. The New Testament, there are five subdivisions of the New Testament. You have the Gospels, there are four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The books of history, I don't know why they put it plural, but the books of history is only Acts, the book of history, that's one. Then you have the Pauline epistles. No, there was not a disciple named Pauline. His name was Paul. And Pauline is pertaining to Paul. Okay, the Pauline epistles. Epistles is letters. Hallelujah. Strictly defined, they're letters, writings, letters. Okay. There are 14 Pauline epistles. They are Romans, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Then there are the general epistles. There are seven general epistles. General epistles mean they were written by a whole lot of different people. A bunch of different people, okay. The general epistles are James, Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude. There's seven of them. And then the books of prophecy. I don't know why they put the S on that, because you'll see that. But there's only one book of prophecy in the New Testament. That's Revelation. 27 books in the New Testament. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament. There are 2,957 verses in the New Testament.
2,957.
Yes. Hallelujah. So those five subdivisions of the New Testament are the Gospels, Book of History, I'm going to just take the S off of that, Book of History, Pauline Epistles, General Epistles, and Book of Prophecy. Took the S off of that. You got that.
Mm-hmm.
the major difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. The Old Testament was sin consciousness. It was prevailed. The New Testament, righteousness consciousness. The Old Testament, kill your enemies, destroy them. I'll bang them, shoot them, cut their heads off. I'm going to whip them over there. New Testament, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Old Testament, pre-cross. New Testament, post-cross. Old Testament, if you do thus and so, God going to bless you. New Testament, God blesses you. And God does stuff for you so that you can do. He says, I reign on the just and the unjust. He will bless you. When Jesus was on the cross and said, first thing he said out of my Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. God heard that. He was the lamb that was slain for your forgiveness. You weren't even born. You weren't even a gleam in anybody's eye when he said that. He did it. He blessed you so you can do and you can get what he blessed you with.
Thank you.
Old Testament. If you didn't do what I said do, you're going to get cursed. New Testament. He took the curse out of the law. Any questions about that so far? All of that?
No.
Let's go further. Seven pillars of wisdom. I talked about it, I think, this morning. You need to get it and use it and put it into action. And the foundation for the seven pillars of wisdom is found in Galatians 5:22. Because if you're a child of God, the fruit of the Spirit should be evident in your life. If it ain't there, get it there.
Is that the foundation
for the seven pillars of wisdom is found in Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Nine of them. That is the character in which you step into flowing with the seven pillars of wisdom.
The foundation of what?
The seven pillars
of wisdom. And y'all hear me say about Galatians 5:22 and 23 all the time.
Amen.
Y'all know that by heart. Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit. You got the Spirit of God. This is what should be manifested in your life. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Hallelujah. The first thing is love. If you don't show love, how can you say you're a child of the King?
Amen.
The Bible says that you're a liar. If you say you're my child and you don't love. That's what the Bible says. That's why you hear me saying it all the time. So why he say that all the time? He say people are straight as everybody. I love you. God loves you. There ain't nothing you can do about it. I say that because it's true. Hallelujah. Praise God. Mighty voice. Now, this is very important. The right perspective. See, that's what the fruit of the Spirit gives you, the right perspective in handling the seven pillars of wisdom. If you get the seven pillars of wisdom, there's nothing that will stop you in this fight. Coachable, teachable spirit. You're not a know-it-all. Because you don't know it all. Because if you knew it all, guess where you'd be? Up in heaven with him.
Oh, my God.
That's number one. Number two, have a coachable, teachable spirit. That's number one. Number two, have a burning desire to please God and be excellent. It's not enough that I want to please God and you have stepping. You're alibi. They call you Alibi Al. Reason why I couldn't do this because the cat had a bowel movement or the dog had to go to the vet.
Oh, my God.
I had to walk back on the wall. My horse threw a shoe. Y'all didn't get that one. I said my horse threw a shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway.
Let it in there.
What happened? The bottom line, have a burning desire. I mean, just like fire set up in your bones. Have a burning desire to please God and be excellent. You want a reward? The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently, deliberately, determinately, consistently seek him.
Amen.
You want a reward? I prayed to God for this reward. I ain't got it yet. Do you diligently seek him? Do you consistently seek him? Or you just do what feels good to you? You stay in your comfort zone. You don't have to step out in faith. You step out in feelings. You step out in fear, but you don't step out in faith. And then you want a reward? Oh, Lord. Y'all got to hear tomorrow's message. Oh, shit, they go for the mother. Because I'm going to tell you what that will give you. Put on Shikata there, but I ain't going to tell you now. But y'all need to deal with tomorrow's message. Shakata Bokekiri, my neighbor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My. Okay, because y'all done forgot already. The first one, number one, coachable, teachable spirit. Number two, a burning desire to please God and be excellent. Not be average. Not be an also-ran or an afterthought. Not just a coach. But be excellent. He said, I want you to be the head and not the tail. Number three, a willingness to work and go the extra mile. Sometimes that ain't easy to work. But you got to do it. Not for your salvation, but because of your salvation. And go the extra mile. Well, he told me to do such and such. But that's not in my job spec. What would Jesus do?
Mm.
What would Jesus say? Mm. He wouldn't say that.
Mm-mm.
In fact, he said, somebody asked you to go 1 mile, go two. I know some other scripture. I don't have that scripture with me. But he said, somebody asked you for the coat. Give him some more. I don't know what else he said. Give him. But whatever. Put it to God. But I'm going to leave that alone. That's number three, have a willingness to work and go the extra mile. Number four, have a spirit, a heart of integrity and honesty.
Amen.
Be honest. Be a person of your word. If you said it, do it.
Amen.
If you don't want to do it, don't say it.
That's right.
Keep your mouth shut.
Word.
These are seven pillars of wisdom, y'all. It's going to help you out in your life, no matter what you're doing, in the church, out of the church, beside the church, under the church, above the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some place where I ain't got no church, it's still going to help you.
Okay.
Have a loving heart.
Amen.
Again, that's the main ingredient. Life is an open book test, and the subject of life is love. Have a loving heart. Next is have a forgiving heart. Because you got unforgiveness, it's like you drinking poison away for somebody else to die.
Amen.
You outside your mind.
Because
it's not hurting them. They live in life, Lord. And you up there, every day you're thinking about what they did. Lord, I tell you, I'll never forgive them. Lord have mercy. That's like you looking in the rearview mirror. You're trying to drive down the street of life. You're going to have accident after accident after accident.
Mm.
You got to look ahead, baby. You can't be focused on behind.
Yeah.
And if you look behind, you just, the only reason why, it's like a testimony. You look where God has brought you from. Well, that's a testimony. That's not, you ain't stuck in the mud and mock and glue of the past. You just looking at what God brought you from, and you keep looking ahead. You keep pressing toward the mark for the high calling. Forgiveness, the heart of forgiveness in your heart, your mind. You forgive. And what does that mean? That doesn't mean that it never comes to your mind again, but the hurt, the pain, the suffering, the hatred, the bitterness that was surrounding that thing, that event, that happening is gone.
Amen.
You forgive them. Because God forgave you before you even were born. He knew you was going to make a misstep, a mistake. He knew you were going to make a faux pas or a failure. But he said, Father, forgive them. So they didn't know what they was doing. Hallelujah. And the last one is have a giving heart. A lot of people like to live off of faith, but other people's faith. Lend me your rent money. I'll give it back to you on Friday. And they didn't have a job. What, they going to rob a bank on Friday?
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, man.
But see, look here. There's some folk that are in your life for a season.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some folk in your life for a reason.
Yes.
What they can get out of you. If they always got their hand out, they always say, gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy. Gimme, 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 my name is Kimmy. And they not bringing nothing to the table. When you need them, you call them up on the phone. They done joined the witness protection service. When you, you decide you're going to go on a vacation on the Himalaya Mountains. You're top the Himalaya Mountains. And you get no reception. And then you hear somebody calling you from side of the mountain. As one of them guys always had the hand out. Say, can you loan me? Say, well, how'd you know I was here? How'd you find me?
Oh, my goodness.
But when you try to find them, when you get in a life event, because life happens to all of us, the good, the bad, and the ugly goes around and surface comes again. And God moves through people. We are his hands and his feet, and God moves through people. And so when you need somebody to be a hand to you, you can't find them, but they can find you. Nobody. You go down to Tupelo, Mississippi. You get into the no-name motel. Say, I'm going to relax today. I'm not taking no phone calls. I turn my cell phone off. And a knock come to the door.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, who is it? Oh, it's your cousin George. I need $5. How did you find me? I don't know. I can't tell you that, but I just need... Lord have mercy. Some folks, you got to love at a distance.
Amen.
I'm not saying don't pray for them. I'm not going to leave them in the lurch. God had to beat me down to heat and tell me stop praying for people, certain people. Because I kept praying for certain people. And they didn't mean me no good, and they kept showing back up. And they said, I don't know why I came, because I kept praying. God said, will you please stop praying for them? I said, okay, and they stopped showing up. Thank you, Jesus. Lord have mercy. You got to listen to the voice of the Lord, because sometimes that's a special circumstance that he would say, stop praying for them, because you're holding up me from getting them right. You're holding up me from dealing with this, so they can cry, what must I do to get this stuff off of me? What must I do to be saved? Some folks you got to stop praying for. That's deep.
Mm-hmm.
But that's God.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to stay in tune. That's why you need Bible study. Y'all folks say, well, I'll take Bible study as I want. Nobody's got a gun to me. My head makes me take Bible study. I bet you somebody... somebody didn't put a gun to your head, but you'd be in Bible study every time. Like you'd be in Bible study a half an hour before time.
Mm-hmm.
But God is a gentleman. He don't do that.
Amen.
You know. Lord have mercy. Oh, Jesus, Lord have mercy. I got to go through the seven pillars of wisdom again, so y'all make sure you got it. A cultural teachable spirit, a burning desire to please God, a willingness to work and go the extra mile, a heart of integrity and honesty, hallelujah, a loving heart, a forgiving heart, and a giving heart. Give and it shall be given unto you. Press down, shake it together. Heaped up and running over shall men give it to your bosom. For like manner that you give it shall be given to you again.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't mean the amount. It means the attitude, the perspective. If they freely give to you, you freely give to somebody, they're going to freely give to you. People will start giving you stuff, and you didn't, Lord have mercy. I know one preacher, glory to God, he wasn't even expecting that. Somebody gave him $1,000, blew his mind. Another preacher got $1,000, blew his mind. You know, but because they were givers. And so if you give, you're going to receive, because your hand is in the right position. Is that right? You're giving somebody
yes.
Something, your hand is open. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
My goodness, this Bible study. So we better go study the Bible. Hallelujah. Know his face. The Bible says seek his face. That's his word. Seek his face. The word of God is the face of God. You can see it. The word of God is Christ. Almighty God. Hallelujah. Let me say this so you can get this again, because I've said it about 10, 15 times, I think. Maybe a little less, maybe a little bit more. I don't remember. But hallelujah. The heart of God is the Father. The face of God is the Son. The voice of God is the Holy Spirit. And the hands of God is us. And hallelujah. The word of God is the voice of God, the Holy Spirit of God, as he moved on mighty men of old. And when I say moved, I mean he used them as pencils or ink pens. Hallelujah.
Word of God is... Say that again, please. Word of God is the what?
Okay.
That's somebody moved on pencils.
Okay. Okay. Again, Almighty God, the face of God is the Father. The heart of God is the Father. The face of God is the Son. Hallelujah. The voice of God is the Holy Spirit. The hands of God is us. And then, hallelujah, glory to God. If you look on in your syllabus,
mm-hmm.
all three syllabus,
mm-hmm.
and First Peter, Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 21, it says, the word of God is prophetic, and God shall cut up on you. Moved on those prophets of old to write his word. In other words, they used the prophets, the writers, the over 40 writers of the word of God. He used them as pencils. Took 15 years. You know, he wrote a lot, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. My other voice out, God. 31,102 verses. He used them as pencils or ink pens. Moved upon them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's in Second Peter. 1:21. Somebody check me on that. I think that's it. Second Peter 1:21. If you have your syllabus in front of you for the new
Yes, for the prophecy came not. You said Second Peter
1:21
says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
That was the scripture. And so you have to understand that. And some people will try to tell you, men wrote that. No. There were ink pens used by God. There were pencils used by God. There were quills used by God, or whatever they was writing with. God put it, God, hallelujah, put them in his hand and wrote his word.
I don't understand what you're saying. So,
okay.
Me or Angie, speak up for both of us.
Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't get
God
that.
God used holy men of old to write his word.
Okay.
He dictated. If you're in a courtroom and there's a lady sitting on the side with a dictating machine and she's recording, she's recording everything that is said. The holy men of old recorded everything that God said.
Okay.
They were the tool by which God used to write his word.
Okay.
It didn't come from their intellect.
Mm-hmm.
It came from the mind of God.
Okay. And this is the scripture for that, 2 Peter 1:21?
That's correct.
Okay.
Moved as God moved.
Okay.
God moved on that. God picked up the, what's that noise? I keep hearing that. But anyway, God picked up the prophets. You see, the Holy Bible is a prophetic word.
Okay.
It's a prophetic word. It's a prophetic word. So those who were picked up by God and God used to write it,
okay,
we're writing what God said. Because, see, prophets receive from God and then put it down. Priests or preachers hear from us and send it up to God.
Okay.
The Bible is a prophetic word from the mind of God.
Okay.
Can you understand that a little bit better?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I use the analogy, the prophets were pens or ink pens that God used to write his word.
Oh, you were saying pens and ink pens. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. The writing tool was the writing tool.
Okay, I got you. Okay.
Okay. It's just like when I write my book, my books,
okay,
I use this computer.
Okay.
And when I'm finished with my book, it gets published. When it says author, it doesn't say my Acer computer was the author. It was the tool that was used. The author is the mind behind using the tool.
So the pens and ink pen, you were using that the tool. That's the tools.
They're the tools.
Got you.
That, in other words, that's an analogy. It's an analogy.
I got you.
That the prophets of old.
Yeah, okay.
A minute ago, were the tools, the pens, the ink pens, the quills, or whatever they were used to write.
Okay.
My God, God picked them up in his holy hands.
Okay.
And they wrote what God said to them.
Right, because some people were saying, well, because men, the lay was like, men just wrote the Bible. That's
right. That's not true.
Okay.
They were just the tools by which God used to put his word in print.
Okay. All right.
And I'm glad you shared that because I want folk to have clarity.
Okay.
Yeah, because I do you use a lot of poetic and analogies. And I use, parables? I try to be a little bit like Christ-like. But so that understanding somehow can be shared in a way. So, Sister Angie, do you understand that?
Somewhat.
Okay. If you were an ink pen and I picked you up and started writing, that's just like what I'm saying. God picked up not in reality, not as far, you know, they this is an analogy. Analogy means an exact, a kind of example that's supposed to bring clarity. If it's muddying up the water, then I failed in that attempt. But it's somebody else. It's like, again, in a courtroom, and a recorder is sitting up there writing in her little machine what is being said during the trial. You understand that?
Yes.
Okay. The prophets were the recorder. And the spoken word that came forth was what the recorder was putting on the recording machine.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So it's just that God used men to write his word.
Yes.
God used men to write his word. Sometimes most preachers say in 25 words what most people say in 5. So maybe I should have said that God used people to write his word. But see, there are too many people out here that say that this stuff came from man. It didn't come from the prophets. It came through the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Water comes through your pipes in your house. Your pipes is not the source of the water. It's just the conduit by which that water came through. The source of the water is like a reservoir somewhere that has some water.
Right.
And the conduit is the carrier. The prophets were carriers of the word. It came from God. It just carried the word and went to the paper. All right. Praise the Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
All right. We got two people that know.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Now, the next thing I want to talk about. There are four ways of giving in the Word of God. That's mentioned in the Word of God. That's tithing. And then you got offerings or seed. In church, they're usually called offerings. Outside of church, it's called seed. They're just one and the same. Seeds and offerings are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have first fruits. And then you have alms.
Right.
Now, Pastor Peaches, you have a scripture there. Read that first scripture I gave you.
First scripture is Galatians 3:13-14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Praise God. It is important for you to understand that Jesus fulfilled the law. He didn't cancel the law. He didn't destroy the law. He fulfilled the law with his death, burial, and resurrection. He removed the curse from the law. He made a new agreement. Thus, the new testament, the new covenant, the new agreement, the new contract. He fulfilled the law. The law was a commandment. There was a commandment to pay tithes because that was the Mosaic law. Prior to the Mosaic law, Abraham pay tithes, not because he had to. Someone said it was a commandment. And Samuel, I think that's 2 Samuel, it talks about that when he rescued his people and all that the enemy, his enemies had stolen from him, the priest of the Most High God, Melchizedek, and he gave him a tenth of all. Not because he had to, because he wanted to. And you know what Melchizedek said? Blessed be Abraham. He gave the blessing to Abraham. Because he gave voluntarily a tenth. What does that mean to us today?
That we can give voluntarily. We give not because we have to, but because we want to.
Yes! You took the words right out of my mouth.
Hallelujah.
Oh, are you a dentist or something? I need to see you later. But anyway, she took the words right out of my mouth. We don't give because we have to, because that was the law of Moses. So that in that verse 8, I think, of Malachi 3 that talks about your curse for a curse,
mm-hmm.
God, Jesus removed that curse. Y'all need to understand that. You get tithes not because you have to, but because you want to. Because there's something about giving tithes. What's the next scripture?
Malachi 3:10.
Go ahead.
And 12. Malachi 3:10 and 12.
Through 12.
It says, bring ye all the tithes. Wait a minute. Oh, yes. Into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts.
Oh, stop right there. See, that's the key. Bring me all the time into my storehouse. Where's the storehouse?
At church.
That's it. It's where you're getting fed. Now, I had one sister tell me that she was given part of her tithes, this was years ago, maybe 20, 30 years ago, to one of her family members because they needed some money.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't tithes.
Mm.
See, she turned her tithes into something else.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't tithes. See, it says bring ye all. No, it says bring ye some. What is it? Bring ye some of the. What does it say now?
Bring ye all the tithes.
No, it says some, doesn't it?
All.
Spell it.
A-L-L.
Okay, go ahead now.
All the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house.
Wait a minute. Stop right there. That you take care of the house of God and his man or woman. Did you know that? There's some folks that get upset because the man of God is using some of the tithe. That's what it was for. To take care of the priest and his household. And a lot of us, we have been so programmed from churches of old and from people out in the world that we feel guilty if we use a little bit of the tithes for a bottle of milk. It ought not be like that, because that was what it was used for, to take care of the man and woman of God and their family.
Okay.
And yet people need to understand that. And we need to stop feeling that guilt is not of the Lord. That guilt feeling, you know, it's guilty feelings is of the devil. And rebuke that. And when you start feeling that, if you're a man or woman of God and you passed in a church or whatever, you got to stop feeling that. And can I be real with y'all?
Amen.
Yes.
Sometimes I have felt that. And I was reluctant to deal with that. And what happened? You know what happened. Hallelujah. I got overdraft on my own account because I'm doing stuff out of my account for the church. And then I was reluctant to get it back. And then I get this $30 charge and this $30 charge and this $30 charge.
Mm.
And the Lord said, what's wrong with you? I told them to bring the tithes and the offerings and the church. You stop using your money, your household money. If you want to sow into the kingdom, you go ahead and deal with that with your tithes and all. But look here, when you use your money that you're supposed to use for bills and stuff, and then you want to feel guilty because you want to get it back, you better stop that because that's not of me. Anyway, glory to God. Read some more of that.
And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven.
Okay, stop right there. See, Jesus removed the curse, but he did not remove the blessing. Did you see anywhere where he removed the blessings?
No.
He did not remove the blessings from tithing. Just the curse. Dang. So if you tithe, now you get this. You will not be cursed if you don't tithe. I won't get angry with you. I won't cut off what we do for you because you don't tithe. But what you're doing is cutting off stuff from yourself. Go ahead. He opens up the windows of heaven. Go ahead now. Read some more.
And pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
You have some prayers that you done sent up years ago and months ago and weeks ago and days ago. But you decide, I'm not going to tithe. Well, see, there's no curse in that. But see, the tithe is the key that unlocks what?
Blessing.
The windows of heaven.
Amen.
Y'all got to understand that. That's not a curse. Look here. Okay. If you have a key to your faith in your house, and you decide not to use it, but you want what's in the faith, I don't know how you're going to deal with that.
You ain't going to get it.
It's not a curse. It's that you chose not to use the key. Am I making that clear to anybody?
Yes.
All right, go ahead, read some more.
Okay. Verse 10. And there shall, or the windows of heaven pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake.
Now, this is something that God's going to do for you if you use the key. He will rebuke the devourer. Who's the devourer? That's the devil. John 10:10b. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh but one forth to steal.
Steal and destroy.
Steal and destroy. That's the devourer. And he uses people. Like God used folks, he uses people to do all that. Probably use companies too and all that kind of stuff. So, but he will tell the devourer where to go and what to do when he gets there. And Psalm 78, verse 66 says, he kicked the enemy in his hind part. He said, get out of here, Satan, and he'll kick him a couple of times. But anyway, go ahead, read some more.
And he shall destroy, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your...
Stop right there. Stuff that's on the ground, that touches the ground, your house, your car, your bicycle, your tricycle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look here. Your children, come on, oh yeah, they're part of your ground. Because we all dirt, you know that, don't you?
Amen.
The human beings, dirt beings, hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory to God. Anyway, go ahead, read some more.
Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field.
Wait a minute here. You done planted something, and it done grew up, and it's real big. But he will help you. That's if you open up that safe. Use that key. Neither will what now?
Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field.
There won't be no wasted motions in your stuff. Your tree, look, you want nice red apples. Your apple is green and it looks like a grape and it falls to the ground. No, he ain't gonna allow that to happen. Because you did what? You used a key. Go ahead.
Saith the Lord of hosts.
All right, go ahead.
And all nations shall call you blessed.
People in your community, first of all, in your family, in your community, in your state, people will call you and say they just blessed. Go ahead, read some more.
And you shall be a delightsome land.
You're going to have a fun time. You're going to be laughing and playing around and joking and be a good person to be around. Because the joy of the Lord is just showing all over you. Go ahead.
And the Lord of hosts.
Praise God. Wasn't that a blessing?
Amen. Pastor, can I say something?
Sure.
Tina, the hairdresser, was threatening miscarriage at one time, and this is the scripture that the Lord gave me to give to her. And I had never saw that scripture like that before, and she stood on the scripture. It says, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. And I never saw it as pertaining to her losing that baby, but her baby is 16, going on 17 years old now.
Well, let me share you with y'all. Many years ago, I shared the same scripture to Pastor Cornelius and Christine Olivia James, because they had about two or three miscarriages. And now I think she has grandchildren. Two or three children.
Yes, her daughter just had a baby a couple months ago.
And her grandchildren now. But I shared the same scripture. Popped it right there.
Praise God.
What else check in here, boy? See, that's why y'all got to stay in Bible study, y'all. Carry it up, boy. Hallelujah. And tell somebody, y'all got to have that hunger for souls. Y'all got to get, this stuff is real. This stuff is amazing. What's the next scripture?
Oh, wow. Galatians 6, 7, and 9.
All right.
And Galatians 6, 7, and 9 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Go ahead, read.
And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
If you don't quit. And if you're sowing good seed, if you sow the word of God, the Bible says that in St. Luke 8:11 and Mark 4:14, I think that's where it is. It says the word of God is seed. And if you sow it in your life, if you sow it in somebody else's life, you're going to get a harvest if you don't quit.
It's a seed now?
The word of God is seed.
Amen.
I mean, the scripture she just read.
That's Galatians 6 and 7 through 9.
Right. So is this offering and seed now?
Offering and is seed. Seed is offering. Offering is seed. And that's what we're talking about now.
Okay, we moved on. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I apologize. We did move on.
Okay.
Yes, we moved on. Thank you, Deacon. Look, see, y'all need to understand it. When you're in church,
what you when you sow and it's not tithed, that's seed,
okay.
even though you're sowing. So you name your offering or name your seed.
Right, that's why I always say name your
seed.
Name your seed. And because you really want to do that, because if you want corn and you don't name your seed, you might get some peas or you might get some beets or you might get some weeds. I don't know because you didn't name it.
Right.
So anything can come up.
Right.
But in this scripture, you know, says, don't be weary in well-doing. So if you're planting good seed, don't be weary. I know you're going to get tired sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're going to get tired of coming to church. You're going to get tired of coming to Bible study. You're going to get tired of telling folks God loves them, you love them too. You're going to get tired of doing all, but don't be weary in well-doing. In other words, don't be weary in doing well. Because you're going to get the harvest on that thing if you don't quit.
It's like, don't get tired of doing the right thing.
Because you're going to get a harvest. You're going to get a reward. You're going to get a blessing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's offering. And when you sow, like, glory to God. I thank God for looking at TikTok every now and then. I see the little example of somebody giving to a homeless person some money. And the homeless person said, well, I'm really not homeless. I just want to see who would be the first one to give something to me. And so here's $5,000 for you sowing to me. Just the glory to God. Or look, or the other one, give me, look, I'll give you $100 if you can give me a Bible verse. You know, give me a Bible verse. Lord have mercy. Come up to me like that. I'll give you 100 Bible verses.
Me too.
Hallelujah. And if anything, you tell them Jesus wept. Come on, that's a Bible verse.
Bible verse. You got that right.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But hallelujah. But I know a lot of people. Well, let me stop. I'm going too far now. Okay, go to okay. We dealt with the seed and offering. Okay, go to the next scripture.
Proverbs 3:9-10.
Okay, go ahead.
Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thy increase.
3:9.
So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Proverbs 3:9-10.
In other words, you got resources that will never fail you if you deal with the first fruits. First fruits is like, okay. Now in January, those who are on Social Security, you're gonna get a raise.
I get to pay first paycheck.
Okay, you can get the whole paycheck, and some people do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the increase.
Increase, right.
In other words, you get a $40 increase.
Mm-hmm.
That first check, not every check.
Mm-hmm.
You if you want to pay your tithes, you pay your tithes. But then on top of that, you can do
the increase,
and that's $40.
Increase.
And that's first fruit.
Increase.
And that don't mean you do it every month. But that first month, when it comes, who's increase? I got $100 increase. That's the first fruit.
Okay,
and again, this is voluntary.
Okay,
first. See, in the old contract, the Old Testament, the old agreement, the old covenant, a lot of things were mandatory. And that's another difference between the old and new. It was mandatory.
Mandatory.
And the New Testament. It's voluntary.
Praise God.
Okay.
Okay, so you might want to put that down somewhere, too, but that all those differences in the old and new. Hallelujah.
I got a question.
Yes.
Did some pastors forget to tell the people that it's voluntary? Because a lot of pastors put fear in the people that if they don't it's going to be like them putting their money in a bag, and a bag got a hole in it. And, I mean, a whole lot of things that scare them.
I think that's in Haggai. And I think Haggai is in the Old Testament. Is that right?
Yes.
And the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Old Agreement has been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And when you put God, he said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. That's a lot of passages, and I'll be honest with you. I'm learning a lot from the Lord, and I'm being a better student of the Word than I used to be. Mm-hmm. I probably said that. But we're not supposed to put fear in the people's hearts. We're supposed to put faith in the people's hearts.
Right.
I used to be scared.
Why are you scared? You got a loving God.
No, I'm saying because of what I was taught.
I know. You see, that's why we got to get in the Word and find out what the Word says about it. Not what a man said about it, but what the Word says. That's why the Bible says in Isaiah 43:26, bring me into remembrance that you may be justified.
But Pastor, even when, just like when we would take communion, and you and I came up in the same church, and when they would tell us to, I'll say from my understanding, and as a child, and the person that raised me, or my understanding was that if we did not ask God, when they say, examine yourself, oh my goodness, it was just like, oh my gosh, oh Lord, I had a wrong thought. Oh God, I did such and such wrong. And we were scared literally to take communion because mm-hmm. I was scared that God was going to get me. If I didn't beg somebody pardon or seriously, and even in Pastor was at New Covenant Church, and Pastor
Swin.
Yes, Pastor Swin had to let me know that he said it is all right for you to take it because I was trying to get a hold of my sister Birdie, and it was something that I must have thought that I had offended her. You know, the scriptures say if you have an ought with your brother, leave your gift at the altar and go get something straightened out with your brother. And I felt as if there was something I needed to get straightened out with her, and I was scared to take communion until I did that. And he, I guess, shared something with me so to release me from that fear to go ahead on and take communion.
Let me show you what the word of God taking communion worthily means that you understand what the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. Mm. That's what the understanding that you have to have. If you don't understand that, then you're taking it unworthily. It's not that you had sin in your life, although when we do take communion, I always have people to do that, to repent. But that's not the understanding that you must have. It's that you must understand what the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. Now, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ has healed you. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has saved you from your sin.
Yes.
And you can still have sin, but the blood saves you from that sin if you apply the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to that sin. But when we do it, I always have to do that part. But it's not about whether you have sinned. It's about whether you will understand what the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ really has done. Because if you don't understand that, then he died in vain for you. And that's what you must understand. What the body of the Lord Jesus Christ has, he brought me healing. What the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's brought me salvation. I don't have to slaughter my family pet or the lamb or the goat, you know, to get my sins forgiven. I can go to him.
Hmm.
That's what the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has done. So that's the understanding. That's what you've got to examine. Do you understand the words that's coming out of the Bible? about that. And the word says his body and blood.
Hmm.
So that's why our pastor friend told you go ahead and deal what he did. It's not particularly about a sin that you committed, but it's about the understanding of what the body of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ does for us today.
Mm-hmm.
Is there understanding on that, y'all?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Go to the next one.
Mm. The next scripture is, Ecclesiastes. Oh, Psalm 41.
All right.
1-3.
Okay, before you read. Now, you heard about the first fruits and what you get when you do first fruits. Again, all of this is voluntary.
Okay.
Old Testament, commandments. New Testament, voluntary stuff.
Okay.
Now we talk about alms. That's the fourth level of giving. It's called alms. Go ahead, read.
Blessed is he that considereth the poor, and the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble.
One, the Lord will deliver you in time of trouble. Great, go ahead.
The Lord will preserve him.
The Lord will keep you. Go ahead.
And keep him alive.
You may be sick, but God will keep you alive. Why?
And he shall...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
He shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies.
Come on now.
The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness.
In other words, you on your sick bed, he will hear you on your sick bed and get up, and then he's going to make your bed for you because somebody got to make it. You want to be polite. Somebody got to make your bed for you because you don't need that sick bed no more.
Amen.
Giving alms. So next time you see somebody, can you loan me a quarter? Can I get a dime? Go ahead and give it to them. You got it.
I did that. I gave out. So you have on here like giving to the poor, get health and blessings in return.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's Psalms 41 verses 1-3 is awesome. There's another scripture. Go ahead.
The next scripture is Ecclesiastes.
Okay. Now, I want you to read that. You got the King James Version?
Yes, this is King James.
Okay. I want somebody, does anyone have the NIV?
I do.
Okay. I want you to go to that scripture, the NIV, but wait till I call you to read that.
Thank you.
Okay. Somebody go to that in the Amplified. Anybody got an Amplified?
Yes.
Which one, Miss Lily?
I don't know what scripture you're talking about.
Okay, the Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes 11:1.
Okay, Pastor Peaches, I want you to read first.
Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days.
All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, somebody has that in... who has it in the Amplified or the...
I have it in the
NIV.
And I have it in the New King James, right?
Okay, no, I don't want the New King James.
Which one did you say?
I said the Amplified. Okay, let me hear it in the New King James. What does it say in the New King James?
Okay, in the New King James it says, cast thy bread upon the waters. For thou shalt find it after many days.
Okay, that's the same thing. That's almost the same. Okay, and somebody got an NIV? Okay, somebody got the Message Bible?
I have the Amplified.
You got the Amplified. Read it in the Amplified.
What was the scripture?
Okay, it was Ecclesiastes 11, mm-hmm. verse 1. When you get there, say amen. Let's see. Anybody got a Message Bible?
I have it. I'm finding it right now in the Message Bible.
Yeah. If anybody got an NIV, I want to hear that in the NIV.
The Message Bible says, I mean, this is Ecclesiastes 3:1.
No, 11:1.
11:1. Okay, wait a minute. 11:1 says, oh, that's 12. It says, be generous, invest in acts of charity. Charity yields high returns.
Mm. I like that.
It's just like you putting it in a bank that has compound interest, it would sound like.
Okay. Now, what was that? What was that? The Message?
Be generous.
No, I'm saying what Bible was that?
Oh, the Message Bible.
Okay, great. Okay, anybody got the NIV? I need the NIV. New International Version. NIV. Okay, I thought somebody had an NIV. Nobody NIV.
No.
Okay, now you have the amplified. Sister Angie.
Yeah, I'm still trying to find it.
Okay. It's behind Proverbs. The Proverbs behind Psalms.
Okay,
it's a book behind Proverbs, and it's chapter 11.
Chapter 11, verse 1. Taste your bread or the waters. Okay. Cast your bread on the surface of the waters. The lightning. Activity, soulful decisions for you will find it after many days.
Okay. I think it's okay. Thank you so much. Okay.
You're welcome.
Pretty much the same thing. I think it's the NIV that I.
But the NIV says, cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again.
Okay. It must be the New Standard Version. Nobody has that. New Standard Version or Revised Standard Version?
Mm-mm.
Okay, because that version says cast your bread upon somebody's face. And I can't remember all that. That.
And that's what's the letters for New Standard Version? N? N-A-S?
N-S-V. N-S-V.
NSV?
V as in Victor. New Standard Version. Or you may have RSV, Revised Standard Version. Either one of those.
New American Bible Revised Edition. NAB, New American Standard Bible.
Okay, you got that?
Okay, we're going to have to press it first. Okay, and we still want...
Ecclesiastes 11:1.
Okay, wait a minute. Ecclesiastes. Let me see what it says. Ecclesiastes 11:1. It says, cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you will find it again.
No. That's not it. It must be the New Standard. It's the version that really completely doesn't say what it says. But anyway, those versions sound pretty good. They all basically seem to sound the same thing, that this is alms. So the four types of giving are tithes, seed, and offering. They're the same thing. First fruits and alms. Any questions about any of that?
No, sir.
No.
No.
All right. Praise God. We thank God for Bible study on today. We ready to rock and roll with the new next Tuesday with our new semester. And for those in the class, begin reading chapter 3 in your book, Growing Towards Spiritual Maturity. Read chapter 3. Okay?
All right.
All right. You have
chapter what? Three. Chapter 3.
Yeah, chapter 3. Going towards spiritual maturity.
Okay, sorry.
All right. And those that have not registered for the course, you can order the course like next Tuesday night instead of calling the 605 number. You call 515-602-9787. You will, sorry to say, you will not be able to participate in the class. You can listen to the class, but you can take notes, et cetera, if you'd like. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank you all for coming in. And see, I want to share this. I want you to all, you know, as leaders, because I have several of the leaders of the church. It's important for you on Bible study. You've got to be leaders. What do leaders do?
We both said it at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you do the last scripture, Pastor?
Is Minister Linda on the call? Minister Linda.
No. Pastor, you had another scripture.
I did. What's that scripture?
2 Corinthians 9:7.
Power off.
2 Corinthians 9:7. Go ahead.
It says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver.
All right. Who has the Amplified?
What is that one for?
That's for all giving.
Okay, all giving.
All giving. Voluntary. All this is voluntary. New Testament voluntary. Okay.
Angie had to amplify, didn't she?
Angie, can you go to 2 Corinthians 9:7?
2 Corinthians 9:7.
Going
to it. 9:7. Oh, get him. All right, 9:7. Here we go. Blessed and fortunate are your people. How blessed and fortunate are these servants of yours.
No, wait a minute. Okay, this is this
2 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians chapter 9.
Oh, that's Congress. I'm reading Congress. Go ahead, Mike.
You're in the New Testament. Go to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians.
And of course, that's after 1 Corinthians.
Corin.
And that's Romans. First is Romans, and it's 1 Corinthians, then 2 Corinthians.
Okay.
So we're looking for 2 Corinthians.
Okay, I'm going to it now.
All right.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 7.
Chapter 9.
Okay, here we go.
The seventh verse.
Okay. Since we have these great and wonderful promises. Wait a minute. Hold on. 2 Corinthians.
9th chapter.
Verse. Okay. All right. Do not say this to command you, for I have said before that you are.
That's not it. It's chapter 9. Are you in 2 Corinthians?
Oh. Yeah, chapter 9, verse 3.
Verse 7.
Okay.
power on.
That,
Bluetooth.
Okay, that one.
Bluetooth.
Hopefully enriched so with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart. Not, I'm going to spell it out. G-R-E-B-B.
Okay, what verse are you spelling? How are you reading?
I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7.
Wait a minute.
I'm reading
Wait a minute, hold on. You're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, correct?
Yes.
Verse 7?
Yes, verse 7.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. It says, let each one give fully and with purpose, just as he decides in his heart. Not G-R-U-D, G-I-N-G-L-Y.
Gradually.
Or gradually or under some pollution. For God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. Proverbs 22, verse 9, 8 verse says, and God is able to make all grace every favor.
Wait a minute. Stop. You read, okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. That's what I want you to read. And you read that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You getting ready to read number 8? No, don't read 8. Okay, go over that verse again.
Okay. Let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he had decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift.
Is that the new amplifier or just plain amplifier?
Oh, this is the new one I got, the new Amplified Holy Bible.
Okay, it says it's the new Amplified?
No, it just says the Amplified Holy Bible.
Okay. All right. Okay. The Amplified that I read years ago, when I think this must be a revised Amplified, because it says, that particular scripture says God loves, takes pleasure, and is not willing to forsake a joyous, hilarious, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. I really have to take a good look at that. But that's what I wanted to share with you. Not grudgingly. Don't give grudgingly. Oh, shucks, I got to give. You may as well keep it.
Yeah,
you ain't going to get no reward on that. God loves a cheerful, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. I mean, hilarious. You know what? When we say it's time for office, people say, hey, they ought to say that because they're getting ready to sow some seed or pay some tithes and stuff. And that's going to change their world. You're going to change the atmosphere. What they're living in, their circumstances, their situations, their conditions, because of their sowing. That's why the word says it's more blessed to give than to receive. All right, thank you all so much for attending Bible study. Hallelujah, and I appreciate that. I want y'all to be committees of one, to encourage others to attend, and even let folk know, they can listen to Bible study on the 515. Don't give them the 605 number, because that's because that's just for folk who registered for the course. You can give them the 515 number, 602-9787. All minds are clear. Any questions?
No, I do. I try my best to read tonight.
Oh, you did fine. It's just that I think that's a revised amplified, because that doesn't sound like the same one I read several years ago, or sisters in the Lord. It could be that this old fella doesn't remember exactly the way he read it 50 years ago.
Because, Pastor, I had the in my phone, I had the same thing that Angie read, but the sixth verse, it says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Then the seventh verse says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." This is the amplified also.
That's the same thing. That's King James, too.
You know what?
Yeah, the same thing I got.
Okay, and the King James Version, 7 says, "God loves a cheerful giver." Is that what it says in that?
No.
King James.
That's the same thing. What they read is the same thing as the New King James, exactly word for word.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was King James.
The New King James?
I mean, pardon me, that was King James, what I just read.
Mm-hmm.
Amplified.
Well, anyway, the bottom line is that I think from time to time, so folks can get more money, they do revise their stuff. So you have to buy the latest, revised edition, because they revised it and you got to spend some more money. So that's what they keep doing, I guess. But I remember, I think I lost the covers off it. But the amplified is still here.
It is, and I've been using it. I just don't know where it is to put my hands on right now.
Yeah, but it may be my old amplified, with 2 Corinthians 9 and 7 says,
I'll find it.
God loves, take pleasure, and is not willing to forsake, a joyous, hilarious, prompt to do it giver, whose heart is in his giving. Now, I saw that many years ago.
Do it say it in the Message Bible?
I don't know. I would not imagine. The Message Bible doesn't necessarily amplify it like the Amplified does, but anyway. But right. Is there a Message Bible around here?
Yes,
yeah,
we
have
a Message Bible.
You could look at the Message Bible and see if, really, the point is crossed. I just have to check myself out, because it could be that I am I'm quoting from another. It seems to me it's the Amplified, but it could be another version I'm quoting from.
I have a question.
Yes.
When we were doing the four ways of giving, the fourth one, arms, is that A? Spell it.
ALMS.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And y'all check me, make sure that's right.
Well, it's definitely not what I had.
Okay.
It's not ARMS.
No, it's definitely not that.
That's what I had.
ARMS.
That's what I had.
So,
yeah.
So if you give it arms, that means you walk around armless. Is that it?
That's what I had.
Okay.
That's what I asked.
So, well, that's a good question. All right.
Oh, wait. I didn't give a poor way of giving.
What'd you say, Andy?
Yeah, I didn't get the four ways of giving.
None of it.
I tried my best.
Huh?
Yeah, I said I didn't get the four ways of giving.
None of it.
I tried my best to.
Okay, tithing. Did you get tithing?
Yep. Put that beside Malachi 3:10.
Okay. Okay, I got Malachi 3:10.
All right, put the word tithing. And I one of y'all might spell that. I think that's
T-I-T-H-I-N-G.
T-I-T-H-I-N-G, tithing.
Okay.
Okay, besides Galatians
6, 7, and 9.
6,
7 through 9.
Yes, you can do that. It is, that's seed and offering. You can put seed and offering.
Okay.
Okay, what's that? It's Proverbs 3, 9 and
10. 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's first fruit. You can put one of the ST stands for first, and then fruit, F-R-U-I-T. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good.
Okay, and then Psalms 41, verses 1 through 3, that's arms. A-R-M-S. No, I'm only joking. A-L-M-S.
You said Psalm 31 and 3?
Psalms
1 through 3.
1, 2, and 3.
Psalms 41, 1 through 3.
Okay.
Then we do Ecclesiastic. Was that the same one? Is that arms?
That was also arms, yes.
Okay.
Ecclesiastic
11.
Yeah, but that's A-L-M-S.
That's arm, A-R-M.
No. A-L-M-S.
A-L.
M-S.
Okay.
So if I ask you what are the four ways of giving in church, you can say tithing, seed or offering, first fruit, and arms.
Okay, got it.
And then you have the 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. That's all giving, right?
That's all giving.
Okay.
Now, let me just share, just go over the last thing. I know we over time just a little bit. I wanted to just make sure y'all know the five levels of knowledge.
Oh, Pastor.
Yes.
Before you do the levels of knowledge, in the Message Bible, 2 Corinthians 9, starting with the 6th verse, it says, remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop.
Mm.
A lavish planter gets a lavish crop.
Mm.
I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done as one Psalmist puts it.
Can you have a copy of the Message Bible down in the sanctuary and read that before offering? That is awesome.
2 Corinthians 9.
Yes, sir.
That was 9, starting at the 6th verse.
It's 9, 6.
2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7.
Uh-huh.
My goodness, that was good.
That's
just 6 and 7?
Yep, those are 6 and 7.
Wow. That almost sounds amplified to me.
But then, and then the 8 through 11 says, God can pull on the blessings in it. No, yeah, I also read 8 through 11. It says, because in the Message Bible, it doesn't have each verse numbered, but start then at the 8th verse, it says, God can pull on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done, as one psalmist puts it. He throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out.
Mm.
This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God.
That's from 6 through
11.
11?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That is the King James Version, right?
No, this is in your Message Bible.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
And all y'all got Message Bibles.
Yep, I do.
I know, because we gave it to you the first semester we gave you. Hallelujah. All right. And thank you. And we look forward to perhaps not this Sunday, but the following Sunday to present the certificates to the persons who completed the first semester. You want to do that. Not this coming Sunday, which is, what's that, the second?
I mean the
ninth. We want to have that ready. Yeah. Do you think we'll probably have the certificates ready by then?
This coming Sunday will be the first Sunday in October.
Yeah. I mean, if they could be ready this Sunday, it would be great. But, see, I'm not the one that does that. So the people that will be doing the certificates, if they can have it ready this Sunday, great. If not, the following Sunday, I know that'd be time enough to do it on the following Sunday. But anyway, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
He's the Lord. He's the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, everybody. I enjoyed the Bible study, and we do learn.
Amen.
Even I learned from Bible study. So God bless you real good. I pray a special blessing on those who attend.
Amen.
Share with others. Tell them it's important to be in Bible study.
Amen.
You know, it's a matter of life and death. Their life or death. It's important.
Hallelujah.
Speak the word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Lead from in front.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you real good. Hallelujah. Father God, we do thank you today for Bible study. We thank you for the rich word that you have shared with us. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us into all truth. We thank you, Lord, for what you've shared with us on this evening. We thank you, Lord, that signs, wonders, miracles, and blessings follow in Jesus' name. And Father God, we bless it. Give a special anointing upon every person that attended this class, every speaker, every contributor, every question, every answer, every reading of the word. We thank you, O God. We bless your name, O God. Bless the households, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We thank you and we praise your name. We give you the glory. We give you the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. And the class said,
amen.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
Love you. God loves you. And I love you. Love you more. Love you more. Have a blessed rest of your night.
Oh, yeah. Anointed one. Jesus. Anointed one, Jesus.
Have a good night, everyone. Love you now.
You too.
Hallelujah.